White County splits a doubleheader with Cookeville. Warren County's boys take down Stone Memorial. And York prepares for a Wednesday night matchup with Livingston Academy. The White County Warriorettes earned a small measure of revenge on Tuesday night as they defeated district rival Cookeville in the team's second meeting of the season. Of all the positives, head coach Michael Dodgen says he was most pleased with the defensive improvements he saw.
Well, I thought we played really well defensively last night, from start to finish. I thought we executed well defensively. I thought we handled things. We had a couple breakdowns there, but you're going to have breakdowns over a long period of time. But, you know, I thought we did a good job of handling certain situations and doing a good job on defending their big guns there a little bit too.
How important against a team like Cookeville that really can shoot the ball really well, especially if they get hot, how important is running them off the line like your team did last night and helping kind of force them into shots they're maybe a little less comfortable with?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, they shot the ball extremely well when they were at our place. And a lot of them were uncontested looks. We just didn't do a good job defensively. But, you know, we did get them off the line a little bit, and I felt like we sped them up a little bit. To take some quicker shots than I think what, you know, Coach Gillis would want them to take. But, you know, overall, I felt like besides the shooting aspect of it, I felt like we rebounded the ball very well too last night. And, you know, you got to rebound the ball well against a team that crashes the boards as hard as they crash.
When you look at the difference in this team from the first time they met, first time these two teams met to now, have there been any changes that you've seen? Were they just ready for this game a little bit more this time?
Well, I think a lot of it too was, you know, it kind of started out the same way as last time. We got out to a pretty decent lead in the first quarter, and Cookeville made a run at us there in the second quarter, and instead of us putting our head down and not playing, we responded and made another run. And I think we answered every run that they had with about a 3-4-0 run. And that makes a huge difference whenever you're playing teams like that, that you've got to answer every run that is made with a run of your own.
When I look at this district, Coach, obviously I think that there's a lot of – obviously this is a three-team race at this point with you guys, Cookeville and Stone, and it's still relatively wide open. There's still room for all three teams to move up or fall down if they get cold. Are you preaching that like, hey, you know, we know we've only got a few games left, but there's still a chance for us to move up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, Friday night's a big game for Cookeville. I mean you know, they go on the road and beat Stone. It's they've pretty much wrapped it up because I don't see them losing, you know, to Ray or Warren County right now at this point. And that's no disrespect to those two teams. I just don't see that happening. So, I mean, Friday night's a big game for them. And, you know, good basketball teams respond. Friday night's a big game for Stone. Stone beats Cookeville. Stone's sitting in first place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all kind of just coming together. And then obviously we play Ray County next Tuesday and then play Stone next Friday. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot to play for. And you've got three really good teams that are just beating each other up every time we play. And, you know, that's the negative about it is our district tournament's going to be so battle tested with three teams that, you know, when you get into region play and play different teams, you got to be careful. I mean, just because you don't want to kill and wear your kids out before you get into region play.
How much of what makes this district tough is the coaching? Because when I look across the board, obviously there's you in Sparta, there's Coach Gillis at Cookeville, Coach Buck at Stone, and even Coach Lippy, I feel, at Warren, I feel like he's done a very good job, and that seems one of the most improved teams in the entire Upper Cumberland this year. How much of what makes this district tough is the coaching?
Well, it's 100%. I mean, listen, you can throw Tracy Vest in that list, too, at Ray County because mm-hmm. – You know, I mean, he's doing a great job with what he's got. I mean, obviously, he lost two of the better players in our district, you know, with Hampton and Cameron leaving. But, mm-hmm. you know, everything's a battle. I mean, every team is so prepared. You know, when we play Stone, you know, Mike's got his kids so well-hearsed and ready to go. Same thing with Jamie and her kids. You know, they know everything you want to do. And then, obviously, the other night, you know, Warren County came out and gave us all we wanted for four quarters. Mm-hmm. And Coach Lippy is learning and doing a lot of good things. And, You know, it just makes every night, there's no off nights.
Again, that is White County Warriorettes head coach Michael Dodgen. Thank you for joining us. Clark Range Buffaloes head coach Shane Monday already had a tough task ahead of him when he took over before the season due to the tough district the Buffaloes play in, and it became even tougher when COVID was factored in. When he looks at the progress he's made as a head coach, he says his familiarity with the teams around him has really improved.
What I think of the most is I'm learning the district and the players and the teams of the district, or that Coach Powell, when he was head coach here for 20 years, he knew the, you know, what the coaches' schemes were most of the time. Of course, I know they adjust for each game, but, you know, that's been the biggest thing for me, just getting adjusted to the other teams in the district and, of course, teams we play outside the district also.
Coach, I have to ask because I don't, when I look around the state and I look at, especially in the Upper Cumberland, I don't know that there was a coach that had a taller task than you in terms of the district you have to prepare for and in the year that you're having to prepare for them with COVID-19, with all the restrictions. How much of a challenge has it really been?
Well, I knew coming in, you know, some of the things that we would have to face this year, you know, concerning personnel, concerning the other teams, but they've been a lot of things, as the first question you asked me, there's been a lot of things I've had to adjust to that I just didn't foresee coming as a head coach. And it's, you know, but it's been good, but it's, there's been a lot of challenges. Of course, everyone has them, but it has been a challenge in some aspects.
Feels like the season just started yesterday, and it's kind of wild that, you know, we look up and here in a couple weeks we're going to be talking about, you know, district tournament time. Does it feel like it's just flown by for you, or is it still just kind of been the grind of the regular season in basketball?
Well, I mean, just, you know, it's really been quick. I mean, I know, you know, with all the COVID restrictions and games being canceled and being rescheduled, but it's went really quick for me. You know, we've got this the rest of this week and then two games next week. And as you said, it's time for district tournament. So we've got to get ready for that. But it's went by really fast as far as that part of it.
I'm sure as a coach, there's probably numerous things, as with any team, that you'd want to improve on going into postseason play. And especially when you look at these last couple of games, what's the first thing you're looking at as, okay, before we get into district play or into tournament play where anything can happen, we have to improve this? What are you looking at?
Well, you know, you've been around basketball a long time. You know a lot of things, and the very first thing for us is at this time of year, we shouldn't have to really be working on our ball handling and protecting the ball. But our turnovers are killing us. Like last night, and I mean, you know, and I said this, but we had 29 turnovers against Trousdale County, and that's just, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything if you have that many turnovers. And at this time of year, and that's something we've really strived and worked on, took time out in practice, and we've done some games. We played, you know, the four games we've won, and some of the games that we've been involved with has been close. Our turnover rates have not been very high, but when we have a lot of turnovers, you know, we just dig ourselves a hole, and that's what I tell the guys. I said, we're playing from behind. We have to change our scheme of our game that we're trying to do. Our game plan, but that's something that, you know, we're just going to have to, going into district tournament, if we can cut down our turnovers, it's going to be the biggest thing for us.
When it comes to turnovers, how do you fix that? Because I've heard a lot of coaches say that, you know, turnovers, taking care of the ball, it's one of the main things they focus on. Is it communication? Is it just players kind of knowing where they want to be, making quick decisions? How do you fix that?
Well, you know, that's something that you just can't fix overnight. Mm-hmm. That's something that you've got to do every day in practice. It's one of those things that even from the preseason, you know, through the season, you work on drills, passing. But it's seeing what right now is our perspective and seeing the open teammate when they're open. We're just about a second slow, and by that time the defense has adjusted. So that's one of the things on us. We're just not getting the ball quick enough to where we need to get. We're getting it there, but we're getting it there late, and we're not getting it to our players. So that's one of the things. And that's just, I don't really know, you know, how you just fix that in a short span of time. It's just something we have to drill, work on, take a certain amount of time in practice to do as we prepare for who we're playing. And And, you know, hopefully during the game our guys can make the right decisions at the right moment. And, you know, that would help a whole lot.
Again, that is Clark Range Buffalo's head coach, Shane Monday. The Dragonettes of York Institute took down Smith County on Tuesday night, a game in which head coach Michael Green says he was happy with how aggressive his team was across all 94 feet of the court.
We were allowed to pressure. We did a pretty good job pressuring full court. We always like to play games when we could do that. The intensity on defense was great. And got some playing time for some girls that don't normally get that many minutes. So trying to kind of save everybody's legs a little bit and get some experience for some other ones at the same time.
It seemed like a good bounce back win from the Upperman game on Friday. Do you think your girls did a good job of just kind of moving on and putting that one out of mind?
Yeah, I hope so, because that one was awful. We talked after the game about, you know, let's forget about it, but at the same time, you know, remember what happens when we don't do what we need to do offensively and defensively. And we could have came out flat last night, but luckily we came out strong and started the game off strong and just kind of went from there.
How important, especially in district games, is getting off to that good start when you're able to hold another team to less than 10 points in the first quarter? You're able to build that lead early to where they're playing catch up all the time. How important is that?
It's very important that, you know, if you're the team having to play catch up, it's just a battle the whole game. And, you know, if you can give yourself a little bit of cushion just to start with, it helps tremendously. And, you know, that's what we're going to try to do, hopefully, our remaining four games. And it's a whole lot easier to play from ahead than it is from behind.
I know we've talked a lot about this, Coach, about just getting Haley Johnson back to 100% and getting her to where she was producing at the rate she was last year. Do you feel like she's finally starting to come around a little bit and she's getting to the rim a little bit easier, she's finishing through contact a little bit easier? Because I know she wasn't 100% to start the season. Do you feel like she's there now?
Oh, yeah, she's there. She really came on and got back to her old self, a couple weeks ago when we first started that little winning streak we had there, and there's a strong correlation between her getting back to 100% and us playing as well as we have. And hopefully she's going to finish out these last four even stronger. And we can finish the season out strong as a team.
One thing I've noticed in your wins, especially ones like last night, it seems like there's a big correlation to you guys winning and players like Lacey Patton playing really well, knocking down threes, kind of helping stretch the floor, free up Ellie and Gabby on the interior. How important do we give her, Lacey, enough credit for how important her role is on this team?
She's going to be crucial, and no, she doesn't get enough credit. We need more consistency every night, and that's coming with playing time. You know, she didn't get as many minutes early in the season as she's been getting here lately. And we need her out there, like you said, to stretch the floor. And when she's knocking those shots down, you know, it's making everything easier for everybody else in the paint. And that helps us out tremendously. But we got to have that from her from here on out every night.
How much of that from her is just confidence to just take the shots when they're there? I noticed that there are some times when she might have a look and she might pass up on it. And how much of that is just confidence that you can give her to, you know that you've got the green light? Just if you've got the shot, take it.
Yeah, she's definitely got the green light. You know, I don't care if she goes 0 for 10. I still want her to shoot that, because the next one's always going in. And I think a lot of it's just where she didn't get as many minutes early in the season, but her defense has improved. And once that defense improved, we've been able to get her out there a whole lot more. And I think the longer we go, the better she's going to be. So I think she's still going to improve tremendously here over the rest of the season and in tournament time.
Basketball on a Wednesday, especially in the high scorings, that sounds kind of weird to me, Coach. But that's the situation you guys have tonight, as you've got Livingston at Livingston. What do you think is going to be key to getting a win? Because this is a team that's playing very, very well right now, and they're coming off of a big win over Macon.
Oh, yeah, Livingston is, they may be the hottest team in the state behind Upperman right now. You're looking at scores, and, you know, they've had some dominating wins here recently. And the thing about them is, you know, we don't know a whole lot about them because they were quarantined, and they're playing all their games here all at once. And I think if anybody can handle all those back-to-backs, it's them, because I think they play, maybe 10 or 10 to 12 girls. So it's kind of going to be, you know, an experiment tonight.
That was York Dragonettes head coach, Michael Green. Coach, thank you for being with us. The Cookeville Cavaliers looked like a brand new unit on Tuesday when they won their return game against rival White County, something that head coach Josh Hurd attributes to his team's accountability on defense.
Yeah, we've made some adjustments in the last week and a half or so. I'm gonna just spotlight our defense. You know, we've taken an onus on our man-to-man defense and just taking some pride into it. And you know, we made it difficult for White County to score. You know, I'm proud of my boys for doing that. Just listening and learning in practice and taking what we did on the practice floor and brought it to the game floor. So just our defensive intensity is the biggest change in that game.
Obviously, it's not much of a secret how important Grant Slatin is to White County's success. And it seemed like no matter whichever one of your guys was on him last night, whether it was Josh, whether it was Lucas at one point, it didn't seem like it mattered who was on him. It seemed like whoever it was just made it tough on him. And I know that had to be a big focus of yours. Did you like overall how they guarded him and how hard they made life for him?
I did, you know, and, you know, you look at the stats, you know, from the outside in, people will look at his stats, well, he had 31 points. Well, they was like, well, he didn't really stop him, but we did a great job because he only had two rebounds and eight turnovers. So for us to come up and play defense like that and make it extremely tough on him, and he's a great player, man. I mean, he's, you know, and I told my guys, I said, look, you're going to have possessions where you're going to play absolutely great defense, and he is just going to score on you because he's good. I mean, he's good for a reason. Mm-hmm. But our onus was that we can't let every single shot be easy. Like, he had to earn every single shot, and the shots that he makes, and then we you know, we're just going to give it to him. But the shots that he misses, we got to grab those rebounds. And I think we did a good job of that, of whoever was on him, just knowing that you're going to have help coming somewhere, but you had to do your job and make it tough on him first.
In guarding a player like that, in your experience in basketball, how important is a short-term memory where, you know, you like you said, you could play perfect defense on him and he's just going to sometimes make a tough shot that you'll turn around and you'll just throw your hands up because there's nothing more you could have done. How important is a short-term memory, though, and just moving on to the next possession?
I mean, it's big, you know, especially for high school kids, you know, when they're, you know, they take things personal, and that can be a good thing and a bad thing. So, we talk about taking it personal on defense because we want you to be accountable for yourself on defense by getting stops. But if he makes a good shot, you know, we've talked about this in practice, you know, the grading scale on shooting and giving up points. And, you know, we do defensive games every day, and the boys have learned that, you know, their man sometimes is going to make a good offensive move, even when you make a good defensive play. And I still congratulate both of them. You know, we've taken the onus in doing that. You know, we know we're not going to beat somebody 2-0. So we got to understand that we can do our job and we can still lose, but we still have to continue to do the same job every single time on guarding our man and keeping our man from scoring. So I just think the boys have done a great job just taking what we've told them and went over in practice. And it really showcased itself last night.
Coach, every time I watch this team, whether it's in person, on film, I'm reminded of why everyone in the district was worried about how good this team could be, because despite the fact that you're playing so many young players, it seems like they don't play like it most nights. Most nights they're playing like seasoned veterans. And how much of that, because I know we've talked before specifically about a couple where the key to their success has been them not worrying about, you know, getting benched for making a mistake or, you know, having to play on pins and needles and worry about making one mistake and that costing them playtime. How much of that is just them playing with confidence and playing with the knowledge that you've got confidence in them?
Well, you know, this is something we've talked about in meetings and with me and other coaches that my motto is, and you know, everyone knows when just from coming to any of our games, you know, I get emotional. I get, you know, I want to push those boys, and I tell them that, you know, if their confidence and their, if their attitude is at the level where mine is on wanting to win, then we are good to go. We are good. But the motto is for them that, you know, I won't yell at you if you make a mistake going as hard as you possibly can.
That was Cookeville Cavaliers head coach Josh Hurd. Coach, thank you for joining us. The Warren County Pioneers got off to a hot start in their win over Stone Memorial on Tuesday night, leading to a double-digit win for the road team. Head coach Chris Sullen says it was his team's shooting that ultimately propelled them to the victory.
I thought we really came out and shot the ball well. You know, this game's pretty, and I'll never call it easy, but it's a lot easier to coach when shots are falling. Really shot the ball well, and I really think that we kind of focused in defensively, you know, held a pretty good Stone Memorial team that Coach Caps does a good job of when it comes to running his things, the system that they run, and did a really good job defensively holding them to 40 points last night. And just proud of the intensity that we played with. Going on the road at Stone has not been a friendly place for Warren County over the years, and I thought our kids locked in early after about the first four or five minutes and just finished the basketball game. So proud of them to get out of there with a win, because Stone is a very tough place for us to play.
You mentioned it being a tough place to play, and I feel like Stone doesn't get enough credit for how hard they are to prepare for, because they have so many kids that can go off for big nights. How hard of a team, in your opinion, are they to prepare defensively for?
Well, you hit it on the head in this aspect. I mean, we've looked at their – when you start looking at their roster, they've got at least – I'm going to say at least 5 to 6 kids that can put up double digits on a nightly basis. So you just can't key on one kid or – one player and say, hey, if we take this guy away, if we hold him below his average or those type of things. They're a very balanced basketball team. They got several kids that can shoot the ball from outside on the perimeter. The Coudre and Boyd kid are guys that we really struggle with at times, most of all because they can step out and give our guys matchup problems no matter what we're doing. They're just a very tough team to prepare for in that aspect. They're so balanced that you just – when you go in, you just don't know who's going to have that kind of night, and you've got to make sure kids understand the scout that all those kids can score the basketball. So I thought we did a pretty good job last night of the things we wanted to do defensively.
Coach, I think we need to discuss the elephant in the room, because I'm not sure if you noticed, but CJ Taylor's on quite a tear right now scoring the ball. What has gotten into him lately? Because he's starting to look like the CJ Taylor of last year, where he really got on a roll at the end of the year and he played some awesome ball there in the postseason.
Well, I think what you hit on it right there, CJ Taylor knows this district tournament time. He knows he's our district regular season at the end of the season. Here comes the tournament. He's got some goals that he set for himself and his teammates. He's our natural leader, and he knows this is his senior year and this is kind of his last ride before he gets to the college level and plays football. He is locked in right now, and I think there's been some things said with CJ maybe earlier in the year, maybe. And as a coaching staff, we kind of challenged him a little bit because we didn't think we were getting the best CJ earlier in the year. I didn't think he was playing with the kind of effort that I know he can. He kind of tells me, hey, coach, when the light switch, when I need it to come on, it's going to come on. And let me tell you, when we turn that light switch on, or when he turns it on, it's not a 20-watt bulb. He's got an LED flashlight out there or something, because he can flat-out score the basketball, the best of them. The other night he goes for Cookville, and he goes for 31-16. I mean, Sparty turns around, I think gets 33, and then last night he had 25. I mean, the kid's just scoring the basketball, but he's doing so many other things besides scoring. He's rebounding the basketball. I think he's averaging about 8 a night, sharing the ball with teammates. And then defensively, when he needs to lock in and do what we need to do, what he needs to do for us defensively, he is doing that.
How important are having athletes like him to building a culture? Because you can obviously rave about all the on-court stuff. You can rave about the stats. You can rave about the numbers he puts up. But it's also the fact that you have a kid who is as talented as he is, but he's as coachable as he is. He's willing to listen. He's willing to take that criticism. He's willing to take that challenge. You mentioned that you and the other coaches give him. How important is having kids like that to building a culture?
First of all, the kid has matured leaps and bounds since he was a freshman. He understands what's being coached is about. He understands that it's never personal. We're just trying to get the best out of him. I think he watched some kids before him, you know, the Hobbs kid and the Grayson and K-Ron and all these kids that come before him. And he realized when we were coaching, we still loved them. We still respected the heck out of him. And he understood we was trying to get the best out of him. And now he's just our leader of our basketball team. He under he's not afraid to tell other guys that it's time to do their job the way it's supposed to be done, and then they look around and say, CJ's doing his job.
That was Warren County head coach Chris Sullins. The Lady Tigers of DeKalb County earned their third district win of the season over Cannon County on Tuesday, and the team's breakthrough from the perimeter is something that stuck out to head coach Danny Fish.
Shot the ball well. You know, we've struggled with shooting the ball here at times this year, and seemed like that was a culmination of things last week, you know, when we played L.A. and Watertown, where we were 2-35 combined behind the three-point line in those two games. And then, you know, the past two games, we've, you know, we're like 20-42. So last night was extension of that. I mean, we really came out of the gates well, you know, was up 7 at first quarter, and then, you know, up 20 by the half. I mean, Ella Van Vranken came out in the first quarter, and, you know, she had 12 points in the first quarter, and then the second quarter it was, you know, Katie Farrell had 14 points in the second quarter. So, I mean, our top two tandem there really got us out of the gates well, and everybody else just kind of fed off them the rest of the game.
You mentioned obviously going up by 20 by half. You hold them to 8 points in the second quarter, less than 20 points for the half. Defensively, what was key in your effort last night?
We were just trying to get out and push tempo, and we were pressuring like we normally do. You know, we thought that we had the advantage, you know, ball handling wise, of being able to pressure. So, and then they're a lot bigger than us too. You know, with the Pelham kid, she's about 6'2" down low, and the Smithson kid's about 5'11". So, we wanted to get those big bodies up and down the floor, and you know, try to wear them out. They were trying to zone us last night, so you know, the best way to attack a zone is not let them get set up in it. So we just try to push the tempo with the pace that we wanted to play, and you know, that's how it went for us in the first half and really the whole game.
You already mentioned Ella. She and Katie obviously have very big games. I know that at this point, I feel like there's nothing those two can do to surprise anyone anymore, but it's got to be good. It's got to feel good to see that they're really gelling at the right time, it feels like.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're playing better. You know, we'll know where we're at, you know, when we go Saturday up to Livingston, who is playing as about as well as anybody in Upper Cumberland right now, you know, and then shellacked us last week. So we'll see where we're at come Saturday. I like the team. You know, we've talked about this many times. I like our team. I like where we're headed. You know, we keep trying to learn, and we keep learning by failing, and you know, the next time they don't fail. So I'm hoping that they'll keep, you know, getting better in that perspective, you know, for the stretch run.
What's your message to your seniors right now? Because I feel like one thing we've all lost in this year is that, you know, obviously COVID and restrictions has changed how this year looks, but this year has really flown by. The season especially has just really flown by, and you know, we look up now and we're only a couple games away from district tournament time. What's the message to your seniors right now?
The same message that the trainer in Rocky IV had to Rocky Balboa, you know, or Rocky III, I think, and I think it was Apollo Creed, and, you know, there are no tomorrows. Okay, you got today, and that's what we've had to plan on all year, you know, with COVID. You could, right now, you're in the part where if you get quarantined, you could be done. So, you know, there are no tomorrows. We got to live for today. We got to play for today. We got to get better today. Tomorrow will take care of itself, but you know, we're just trying to keep the eye on the prize of getting better each day, and you know, that's kind of what it is. You know, there are no tomorrows, and really it's more of a life lesson than it is a basketball lesson, to be honest.
And obviously, as I mentioned, with tournament time coming up, what is one thing you're really focusing on right now that this team has to get better at in order to, you know, make a run? Because obviously, as we know, in tournament time, anything is possible and anybody can be beaten on any given day.
Yeah, just, you know, continuing our progression with our experiences and trying to get, you know, better at those. But, you know, we got to shoot the ball consistently. You know, we and be as efficient as possible on both ends of the floor, you know, limited second chance opportunities on defense. And then, you know, offense, taking care of our business on that side and trying to, you know, be as efficient as possible in our offense while trying to, you know, create some second chance opportunities for us is huge. You know, but I, like I said, I feel good about this team. You know, we talk about in our program that, you know, the games, everything leading up to the second, third week in February is all preseason.
That was DeKalb County Lady Tigers head coach, Danny Fish. Coach, thank you for joining us this evening. The York Institute Dragons are playing some of their best ball of the season as of late, with wins over Upperman and Smith County. And for head coach Roy Whited, he says he believes that his team is finally starting to find their identity.
Well, and I think that we are at hitting a place now where we're getting an identity. And it's taken so long with so many different variables during this year. It's been a really crazy year, as you know, with COVID, postponements, quarantines, and the fact that you throw in that we're playing, starting two freshmen, playing three and four sometimes. It's been very difficult for us to get an identity of who we are as a team. And I think that we're beginning to see that with our defensive intensity. That's what we have been preaching from day one, but it's taken us so many games, so much experience playing together to be able to maintain and get to that level of intensity. And I'm seeing that, you know, breakthrough. We're not 100% there, but we're much farther along than we were.
I'm sure it obviously doesn't help that you guys are playing in a gauntlet of a district like you are, but you find yourselves here in a tie for first right now with some big games still on the schedule. That's got to be encouraging after having to deal with all the adversity you've dealt with.
Absolutely. To be where we are, you know, I'm very much encouraged from the fact that, you know, really, honestly, other than Coach Powell and myself and our team, you know, really didn't give us the chance to be where we are at this particular time. We still have a lot of work to do and several games back to back to back. So we're playing four games on four nights this week, and so it is very challenging.
High school basketball on a Wednesday is just weird in general because you don't see it very often, but it's got to be even weirder now just because this is kind of what you have to do in a season like this. You kind of have to play when you can, especially when there's cancellations.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had to cancel with COVID two different times, mm-hmm. this particular game with Livingston Academy, and then one time with weather. So three different times it's been postponed. And so it ends up that we, you know, unfortunately for us and Livingston Academy has been in the same boat as we have been, quarantined and then have to make a slew of district games here these last 2 weeks. So it's a very peculiar situation. It's one that we haven't faced. But again, when it gets tournament time, you want your team, you know, to be tournament ready and tournament tough. And I think that's what this helps us prepare mentally, physically, where we're mentally tough enough to play through fatigue, you know, leg tiredness, and be able to come back night after night.
How important, especially for tonight's game, is it to not look ahead to tomorrow? Because this is a Livingston Academy team that's playing really, really well right now, and they're a team that can beat you if you're not fully focused and prepared for them.
Absolutely, and they're very good. They're very good. They're hitting their stride, you know, at the right time. At the end of the year, we feel like that it's an even matchup.
Again, that was York Institute Dragons head coach Roy Whited. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The Panthers of Stone Memorial got off to a really good start on Tuesday in their game against Warren County, but a slow spell on offense in the second quarter ultimately doomed them. For head coach Neil Capps, he knows they can't afford to do this come postseason time.
Well, you know, we got off to a really nice start. Warren's playing really well, obviously, right now. I mean, they're our district leaders right now, and sitting there in 5-1. We got off to a really good start. Moved the ball, attacked their zone really well. Made shots, and then we just, you know, second quarter, we only scored 4 points. And that really kind of put us in a hole from that point. And we really, just not a ton of positives. But the one positive that really stuck out that I think we can build on is I subbed about halfway through. I subbed five guys, five new guys went in down 20, and within a few minutes it was a 10-point game. So their energy come in and make plays, and it kind of helped turn the game right there. And I was really pleased with their effort. Because the thing I told our older guys, our starters, is that sometimes, no matter how you want to slice it, you're going to lay a stinker. You're going to have bad games. You're going to have bad days. I mean, even NBA teams get blown out by 40 sometimes, and they get paid millions of dollars a year to win ball games. And even at that, you're still going to have bad days. So, just our young guys coming in, our second group coming in with a lot of great energy, and hopefully, we can, that can help us down the road, obviously, this season, and give one of that second group a little confidence somewhere that they can step in and make plays when they need to. So hopefully we can, just don't want to forget it, but you want to put it in the rearview mirror, because you can always revert back to that, and because that's those older guys. That's not the with three regular season games to go in your senior year. That's not really the showing that you want to do. And I think they're going to be use that to build upon, to refocus, get locked back in, and be ready for a very tough Cookeville team coming in here on Friday night.
What's the key to overcoming kind of those slow stretches where, no matter how open you are or what kind of shot you're getting, the ball just doesn't seem to go in? What's the key to overcoming that? Because I think that's something a lot of teams are struggling with right now.
Just confidence. The thing is seeing the ball go in. I unfortunately, that's the thing that my daughter's dealing with at Gardner-Webb. She hadn't seen the ball go in a while. She's shooting terrible. So when like Will Hecker early in the year was hitting every time the ball left his hands, it went in. And now every time it leaves his hands, he can't get one to go in. He was able to get a couple to fall for him last night. Hopefully he can build on that. So it is a lot of confidence in just seeing the ball fall. It seems like no matter how much you practice sometimes, you can make them in practice, but until you see it go in a game, there's where the true confidence is built. I can tell you what kind of great shooter you are. I can tell you you're a great shooter all day long, but until you prove it to yourself in the game, in the fire, it's just really tough to build confidence any other way.
That was Stone Memorial head coach Neil Capps. Thanks for being with us.